1223 Regression Fourier. Each and every Wednesday, we welcome in our guy, Andy Hart, who is also with us on Twitch as well. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Follow WEEI on Twitch. We didn't move it around to where he can see us, but we can see him. Hart, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How's everybody doing? How's the old ankle?
We're all right. Fourier took a little tumble.
I took a fall. I took a massive fall, to be honest with you. I was just telling Gress that since I've had my surgery, I fell off my crutches going down the stairs. I fell off my crutches going up the stairs. I somewhat slipped in the bathroom trying to go to the bathroom, and then I took a massive, massive tumble today just trying to sit back in my chair. It's been an adventure.
So you're an old coot, officially.
Oh, my Lord. And I have so many different devices to get around. I have my knee rover, I have my crutches, and none of them work well.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I'm gonna blame it on the machines, not the user.
Operator error.
No.
Yeah. I mean, with all the kids, we know there's no trusses or pumps or anything like that. So you only have certain equipment to be able to get you around.
Poor guy.
Nobody helps me either.
Take him out back and shoot him.
Oh, my
God. I'm almost there.
Oh, listen to him.
I'm almost there.
The whole, no one helps me.
Nobody helps me. I'm on an island.
Oh, jeez. No one has told me I'm beautiful today.
I shouldn't say that because my wife literally has done everything for me. So, kudos. So,
except drive you to work.
Yeah, but that was more me feeling sorry for her. Anyway, she asked me today, and I was like, oh, I got this.
So you drove today?
Yeah.
Left footed?
No, right foot.
Is that even legal?
Oh, God. Can we get off this subject?
Foot? He uses a cane.
I use a cane. Yeah.
So you probably shouldn't be driving. They should take your license away.
Oh, jeez. See, you know what? I'm just kidding. Actually, I got a ride up here today. I'm doing radio.
He took the helicopter in.
Doing radio.
Greg Hill is making sure that he's ushered up and down. Instead of going to Maine with the metal roof, he's helping Fourier this week. There have been a lot of just scenarios, possibilities, all different kind of stuff thrown out there. There's a lot of buzz now around Russell Wilson in that the Raiders are probably not going to be able to trade the guy. Trading for him, non-starter. But if he's just out there as a street free agent where you know you're going to get a halfway decent price, there have been thoughts of maybe trading down or using Marvin Harrison Jr. as the number three pick. Any interest there in terms of Wilson or, say, any other veteran quarterback that might be able to slide into a spot like that?
So I'm a hard no on Russell Wilson. I think in some ways he's a rich man's version of Mac Jones. I think he's broken. I think his career might be over in some sense. Now, I know he played better last year, but I'm talking about as a true franchise guy. And I don't think I want him around whenever I bring in a young guy. Even if it's sign Russell Wilson, draft a second, third round pick this year, or if it's a year later, I'm not sure I want him around based on everything we've kind of heard about him in Seattle and then early on in Denver, and maybe he kind of fixed it, but did he totally fix it? And he's a corporation, blah, blah, blah. So I'm a hard no on Russell Wilson. The only veteran starting level veteran I guess I have interest in is the Baker Mayfield idea. If you want to sell me that Baker has rekindled what he once was, which was not only the first pick, but a guy who threw 28 touchdowns and was a pretty good player and then kind of bottomed out, bounced around. He was signing with teams on Tuesday and playing in Thursday night football for LA. That guy, he's back. The relationship with Alex Van Pelt, Elliot Wolf, you can sell me on signing him. And then that opens up the whole buffet in the draft to whatever the hell you want to do. Marvin Harrison, trade down a little bit, get a tackle, get extra picks. But it sounds like, I know Rick Stroud has been pretty adamant out of Tampa that they're going to re-sign Baker Mayfield. He's not actually going to be available. So if he's not available, to me, then it's the next tier. Oh, Jimmy Garoppolo on PEDs or Jacoby Brissett. And those guys, for me, are only brought aboard in that veteran role to mentor, compete with the guy I'm taking number three overall.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on all that stuff. The other aspect just going back to the Patriots and the coaching staff. So the official coaching staff release was the other day. You saw the names and the titles. I'm curious, now that it's all said and done, how you feel about it overall, and why wasn't Troy Brown on that list?
So that was interesting because they put out the list of the new coaches.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So, you know, the Mike Pellegrinos, the Troy Browns. Now, the interesting thing with Troy is it seems like he's also going to have a different role, even if he does stick around, because they had a wide receivers coach and an assistant wide receivers coach. So I wonder if he sticks around, do you just have a returners coach? Would he want to be just a returners coach in a league where returns are being phased out? I've always thought Troy might be better, and you could probably answer this, Christian, in the world of assistant coach on off, whatever, just like a low-level assistant coach, but also player development, and in sort of that world, maybe there's a role for him there as a liaison, as a guy with programs and different things. I don't know, just a thought. The staff on a whole, like, don't you just read it and be like, okay, they have a staff. Like, I don't have a strong reaction one way or the other. I'm not a huge fan, and we're going to get to know the assistant coaches today, so I'm looking forward to maybe.
Are you going to be down there?
Yeah, I'm going to go down there, and from what I understand, we're going to be able to kind of mingle with them a little bit.
It's like a mixer. It's like a Patriot mixer.
Yeah.
Pizza party. So, hey, look at that. Hey, I'm Marcus Covington. I'm the new defensive coordinator. Hey, nope. Andy Hart.
Nope. I just want to go to Alex Van Pelt. That's the one I care about. I want to start to get a feel for him.
Of course. Go to the fat guy at a pizza party, aren't you?
I mean, if there's pizza, I'll be happy. But
what's the first question you ask him? Like, what do you want to know?
So you mentioned in your video on Patriots.com socials that you believe you have to marry up scheme with talent. How do you do that right now when you basically don't have any talent and the players won't arrive until later in March and April? What exactly can you do scheme-wise right now? Hello?
And then he looks at you and goes, oh, so you're telling me that Ramondre Stevenson and Juju Smith-Schuster have no talent?
Ramondre's good.
Oh.
That's what I would respond to. I'd say your receivers, not named DeMario Douglas, stink. But if you're building a scheme around them, then you're preparing to fail is preparing to fail.
Yeah, I like Hunter Henry, too. You know, he probably
He's a free agent, not on the team. He's not on the team.
But he can still express interest. I mean, you're just going to walk up to the guy and be like, hey, dummy, you came here and there's nothing here.
No, I said it in a much kinder way than that.
Oh, jeez. Why is it?
I thought the truth is never mean.
Well, yeah, but you were putting tone on that. You were Rich Keefe tone on that.
Oh, okay.
It's a tonality issue.
Oh, so tone matters.
Yeah, I put a little perfume on the pig.
I guess it's just as good as lipstick. Has this ever happened before? Like a little coaches mixer where everybody gets to know everybody?
I don't.
It's just, is this the silo? Hey, silos are down. Right? This is part of the whole knockdown silos. Let's let the media know these guys and get to really know them.
Well, they stop in the middle of the questions like a church and everybody like turns around and shakes hands and hugs people.
Peace be with you.
Yeah, I'm not holding hands with anybody else. I'm not getting in a circle and holding hands with anybody. I don't do that. But I wonder, and this is the cynical part of me, if it's a preemptive, we all know you catch more flies with sugar than vinegar or whatever the hell the saying is.
Honey than vinegar.
I just wonder, is it the expect, you know, some of these guys are going to be in roles where their units don't perform very well, and maybe if you like them a little bit or have a personal relationship with them, you'll be a little bit kinder with your analysis. Maybe it buys them a month or two of positive molding or coddling or whatever you want to call it, because, I mean, Alex Van Pelt is set up to fail, correct? Like, in all likelihood, offense is not going to be good.
Yep.
Okay, so... Maybe because all we've heard about Alex Van Pelt is what? Nice guy. Good guy to have on staff. He holds staff together.
Well, you're lucky to have somebody who's been around the league with this level of experience in this role, honestly.
If I get to rub elbows for 20 minutes with Alex Van Pelt, I may leave that with, but he's a really nice guy. And I'm gonna be nice to him in week 3 when they give up 17 sacks and lose by 30. And week 4 when they can't run the ball the length of you know what. So I think it's a little, and you may, you may mock it, and I may mock it too, like the breaking down of silos, and we teach with love first, and we'd only not only get to know our players, we get to know our media, so this is a personal interaction.
Oh, yeah.
There's some of that, yeah. And they're trying to buy me off, because I always said this, Christian, you guys as players, if you had half a brain in that locker room, all you had to do was smile and say the reporter's name, and you just earned a lot more positive coverage than you could ever know.
I mean,
if you pretend you give a rat's ass, you're earning the benefit of the doubt.
Hello, took that advice before you actually gave it to me.
Oh, okay. Hello.
How about that guy?
Most of your teammates didn't, and they're dumbasses for it.
No, but
it's such an easy game to play.
But even with that, though, all the guys that were, my teammates, they're all in the media in some way, shape, or form, or there's some sort of, relationship, sales, whatever, where they deal with people.
Yeah, some of them were jerks, though, in the locker room.
But, why do you think they were jerks?
Because they were mean.
I know, but where do you think the message, I learned it from watching you, Dad. Comes from.
I know the tone was set by the head honcho, and
don't trust anybody. Don't talk to anybody. Don't talk to. Don't give away any trade secrets. Zero personality.
Yeah, but you could do that with. I mean, there were some useless conversations that went on in that life.
Well, those days are over. By the way, those days are over.
Oh yeah, no.
Ask whatever you want.
Yep.
Free open society, like fruit punch right in the middle of the locker room. All you guys can have little finger sandwiches, whatever you need.
There's going to be a lot of retroactive reacting to what was said by et al. Down there.
I wonder if like the first guy that kind of trips over himself and says something stupid, how quickly does Mayo's philosophy change?
It will change by midseason.
Oh, definitely.
Right? It's going to have to. Yeah.
I mean, okay. I think he started the process, and I think, Gresh, you were a leader in this witch hunt to some degree.
Witch hunt?
When he made the comment about with Steve Burton about we're going to take the best player at a very important position, and you're on the radio the next day, like, he said they're taking a quarterback.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, I didn't really say that. He tells Greg Hill, quarterback, tackle, wide receiver. But I think immediately he learned a lesson.
Yeah.
Oh, crap. You say like three words and some jackass on the radio is going to take it all and turn a whole show into it. And I think that process, that learning process began that day.
And I'm not wrong, by the way. They're going to do it. They'll get the young QB and we'll be right back here 3 years from now wishing that, who's Jonathan bringing in to run things now?
Well, I mean, they may hit on the quarterback if that's the guy that they take.
Or they get C.J. Stroud, Joe Burrow, one of these guys, and we're all, on Radio Row 3 years from now.
Sure. Or they get...
What's more likely to happen? They hit on the quarterback or miss on the quarterback?
I won't even run down all the names. Yeah.
Numerically, it's miss.
Yeah,
and
it's miss.
It also, but it's not a blind... This is a debate that kind of annoys me because different people bring different philosophies, and I got into it with Matt Smith, NFL draft scout, on Twitter yesterday about this, and
we're gonna do a
six rings podcast built around this. But
I'm the big meanie.
It's okay tall. Yeah, you don't have to take it out on other people who are tall.
It's social media. You're supposed to respond. Christian, you did it a couple weeks ago when you pushed back on the everybody wants a modern offense, and you're like,
I know.
What is modern? Isn't it fun when you push back on idiots?
It is for like a second, and then I'm like, I got something else to do.
Who is?
Well, but then put the phone down and walk away.
I do.
Who is Matt Smith? Who is this draft insider? I don't even know who the hell this is.
Oh, not Matt Smith.
Matt Miller?
Matt Miller. Oh. Yeah. NFL draft scout.
Besmirch Matt Smith?
No, Matt Smith's my boy. Love him.
Hey, if you were able to kind of rip each guy that is a Twitter scout, because there's so many of them. You could literally pick apart everything they say.
Absolutely. And we've all been right. We've all been wrong.
Everything they say. Because in the end, it's almost like they're just going off of hunches.
Well, not just hunches, but they're doing some research. The problem with observers from afar, and I think it's more important at the quarterback position than any other position, is we don't actually get to sit down and hang out with these guys for a visit, a weekend, a film session, a dinner. You give me 8 hours with Jaden Daniels or Drake May, I may feel differently. I may say, oh, the guy's got the tools to be an NFL quarterback, but I didn't like what I heard for the last 8 hours. I am now extremely worried about who he is, what he represents, where his drive is. Caleb Williams, too.
Caleb Williams, I
would actually start that with Caleb Williams. I am all in on Caleb Williams' talent. And if you said we're just drafting based on talent, I don't think there should be a question on the planet about his talent. I know he had some fumbles, whatever. You're a coach. Fix it. Get him to play on schedule sometimes. But beyond that, the biggest question with him is he a diva dink? And you can't know if he's a diva dink just from afar, because sometimes narratives take on a life of their own this time of year. And I do think it is open season this winter on Caleb Williams. Oh, he's this, he's that, he won't play for this, he did this, X, Y, and Z. You know who was a dink coming into the NFL? Eli Manning. Also, John Elway. I continue to put those guys out there. They wouldn't play for the teams that had the pick. They manipulated it. They were, and guess where they end up? Canton with rings on their finger. So you can fix dink sometimes. You can manage dink sometimes. But that's where we all from the outside just base it on talent. That's all we can do. We don't get, I mean, you might, you know, listen to a combine interview. You might, those types of things, but it's so minuscule compared to the time teams can spend with these guys. And I think for quarterback, that's the biggest issue. Like Mac Jones, based on watching Mac Jones the last 2 years, I firmly believe even if Matt Patricia hadn't existed and things hadn't taken a turn there, some point in time you would have realized, oh, Mac Jones is soft. Mac Jones is breakable. Mac Jones is not the maniacal guy I want as my quarterback. He is not in that world. You may have been fortunate. You found out sooner rather than later. You could have invested $100 million in him before, you know, the going got tough and you found out he was breakable. So I think the mental with these quarterbacks is the biggest thing, and we as outsiders generally know very little about that.
Yeah, there's a lot more to get to, but unfortunately we are up against it with our guy Andy Hart.
They can listen to the Six Rings podcast where Mike Cadlick and myself talk about it more at 1 p.m.
Ooh, okay.
To screw you guys, I'm driving people to listen to me.
Well, just make sure we, you know, ask a question today that we can use tomorrow.
Okay, what do you want me to ask? I don't know the format, though.
Well, it said it's going to be a mixer.
I know, but I don't...
Are you going to have a name tag?
Am I going to have a cocktail? Am I going to have finger sandwiches? You guys brought that up. Is there going to be food?
There's going to be hugs on the way
in and out. I feel like it's
going
to be a mixer. I feel like it's going to be like one of those lines. Like when you go to weddings, you have to shake everybody's hands before you actually get
it. Maybe
that's not going to be. My palms will be sweaty. Yeah. I'm a sweaty palms guy. That'll be yucky.
Bring a glove. It'll be fine.
Now that's just weird.
I mean, imagine the media people.
What am I, Jaylen Brown dunking?
Well, I was just going to say, my God, the amount of people down there that when they hear their name mentioned,
I can guarantee you they know my name.
Yep. Oh my God.
You will get nothing but positive reviews out of today. 100%. Everybody's gonna be snookered and suckered.
Yep.
Snookered and suckered. And one voice of negativity will probably be me.
No, they're gonna win you over too.
They might. Yeah. They might. Unless he goes, I don't know. I got no idea what I'm doing. I'm surprised anyone even wanted me to be a coordinator.
we must not forget, I do believe, other than in like NFL Europe, this is, I think, like the first time he might have called plays or something like that.
Buffalo for like a year under Dick Geron, I think, and that was 15 years ago. Gresh, you bring that up. It's interesting. In a world where play callers are replaced and given jobs very quickly, why did it take him 15 years to get back into the play calling ranks?
I like that. Don't be a coward. Don't be a big baby. Ask it just like that.
How dare you?
Ask it just like that. I dare you. And don't even clean it up.
In a world where offensive play calling jobs are given out like candy, why did it take you 15 years?
Yeah. Should you have just worn tight pants and said you knew Sean McVay?
That's fair.
Do you think your looks inhibited people from hiring you?
He's got a dad look.
If you brushed your hair differently and said you knew a Shanahan, would you have already been an OC?
Do you regret never working for Sean McVay?
Yeah, all that stuff.
It would have been a fast track to being a head coach, not a coordinator. For our first time head coach.
How tight do you like your pants?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not asking him that.
Again, another question I would like to hear.
There we go. Andy Hart of WEEI.com and the Six Rings pre-post game show podcast, all that stuff.
The whole damn thing.
There you go. All right, Hart, buddy. Thank you, buddy. We'll see you.
Good luck today.
There goes our pal Andy Hart.